Welcome to the Unbound Healing Podcast. I'm Anne-Marie Garland, nutritional therapist and health coach at Grassfed Salsa, and with me is my co-host Michelle Hoover, certified nutritional therapy practitioner and writer of everything you'll find at Unbound Wellness. Here we share everything about overcoming health challenges from autoimmunity to hormone imbalance and more, with holistic living, mindset shifts, practical tips, and a real food paleo approach. Remember our disclaimer, the content within this podcast is intended to provide general information and is not to be substituted for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get on with the show.
What's up, crunchy friends? We have another amazing interview for you this week. We are talking to Candace Moore of the blog and the YouTube channel Yoga by Candace. Not only is Candace an amazing yoga instructor, but she is also the author behind the book Namaste, and she has her own incredible healing story. We're going to be talking all about how she healed her gut, how she healed from chronic Lyme, and all about her yoga experience and how it all ties together. And Candace is one of my own personal biggest inspirations in health and online business. So I'm really stoked to talk to her. I know that you guys are going to love her if you don't already follow her. And if you don't, seriously, go check out all of her online resources, her free YouTube videos, her book. There is just so much out there from her. And I'm so excited to share this interview with you guys. Let's go talk to Candace. So Candace, we are so excited to have you here with us this week. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So something that we like to start off with, to just kind of start with something fun, is we each go back and forth each week, Anne and I, with something that we're loving, and we like to ask our guests this as well. So what's something that you're loving right now? Could be food, health, yoga related, or not related to any of that at all.
So I was thinking about this earlier, and I'm honestly just loving life. Like, there, especially these last few weeks, I've been keeping a gratitude journal, and I don't know if that's directly impacting how I'm feeling these days, but there hasn't been a day that goes by where I don't stop and just think to myself, man, this life is so good. I'm so happy. So I'm just loving life.
That's amazing. We are big advocates of gratitude journaling.
Yeah, I love that you just said that. That's something that I was just recorded on a podcast recently, and they asked me like how I knew that I had healed myself. And I told them that it kind of just like came to me all of a sudden. I was like, all of a sudden I was just really happy all the time. Like, I look at each day and think like, I'm just really happy. And yeah, that didn't always be, you know, that wasn't always the case. So I think that's really great that you feel the same way too.
And it's a healing tool as well, that, you know, when you're trying to heal yourself, just being grateful, it'll help you heal a lot faster for sure.
Oh yeah. It's like a cycle. Like, you know, you have those vicious cycles where, you know, you have anxiety about having anxiety, and this kind of works in the same way, only it's like the opposite. Instead of like this vicious, horrible cycle, it's like, oh, if I'm grateful, more good things like tend to just appear in my life, and then I'm happier and I'm still happier, and it just goes around and around.
Totally. I love that. We'll probably talk more about mindset as we get into things, but we already gave your intro. We already know who you are. You are the amazing entrepreneur, just awesome person behind Yoga by Candace. So all your journey is about yoga and health, and that's what you do. But your health story, which is probably something, if somebody just goes onto YouTube and finds your YouTube video, you know, they just see this, you know, awesome person. They don't necessarily see all of the health story behind your journey, which is amazing. So if people do not know, I would love for you to share a little bit about your health story.
Sure. So in 2010, we had adopted a second dog, and the dogs got into a fight, and I tried to break them up, and I sustained a pretty bad dog bite. And immediately, like, my health, something just went off, and all of a sudden, my joints started to swell. And then like a few days later, I had brain fog. And then a few days later, my knees hurt. And then I couldn't really walk. And it just progressed. And I went to doctor after doctor after doctor, seeing, you know, a hand specialist, and then a podiatrist, and then a arthritic doctor. Like, there were just so many different people looking at me, but nobody really looking at the whole picture. And so It must have been 8 or 9 months down the line. And by that point, I couldn't walk. I could barely walk. I was in just extreme amount of pain. I couldn't handle bright lights or loud noises. I couldn't have a conversation with you if there was a slight white noise in the background. I just couldn't focus. I had extreme depression. I couldn't sleep. When I could sleep, I had these night terrors, and I would wake up and like drenched in sweat. And then it got to the point where if you were sitting in front of me and speaking to me, I could hear that you were talking and I could see that you were talking, but my brain was computing what you were saying on a lag. Like if you were watching a video on a VHS and the audio was slightly off, that's how it felt in my head. And I couldn't formulate a response in the appropriate amount of time. I was just very off. So it was beginning to affect my brain. And finally, I got to a doctor who tested me for Lyme disease, and I had Lyme disease. And so I thought, great, and now I know what's wrong with me. This is amazing. But what I didn't realize is that Lyme disease, especially when untreated, and it just affects various people, present differently. And so there wasn't a very clear-cut way on how to get better. So when I was so ecstatic about finally having a diagnosis, my doctor said, well, calm down, because it's going to be a long road back to health. And she wasn't kidding. So I was on heavy duty antibiotics for quite a while. And then once 21 of my 22 symptoms disappeared and I was still having joint pain, I wasn't quite sure what to do. So I parted ways with her because she just wanted to kind of keep me on the antibiotics. And I kind of knew in my gut, plan words, that wasn't the right path for me, that I needed a more holistic route towards total healing. And so I went on the GAPS diet, and that's just a healing short-term, you're supposed to do it for 2 years max, diet to help heal and seal my gut lining. And the idea is that the majority of issues that you experience can be related back to gut health. So if you heal and seal the gut lining, then you are better able to heal yourself. And a lot of times the symptoms that you're presenting with will dissipate completely or diminish greatly. And so I did that for 2 years and I started to get better, and I was feeling better than I ever have felt before in my life. And then I realized that, yeah, I was feeling really great, but I still had some hormonal imbalances. And so I've been working with that working with diet to help kind of fix that. And now I am just like the healthiest and the happiest I have ever been. And it has been a very long journey and a very long story. And I apologize for that. But that's my health story.
I think what's so important about when I first heard your story and when I first started learning about the GAPS diet, the way that you describe it and the way that it should be described is, you know, it's a 2-year diet and it's short term. For most people, especially those of us who are in the AIP community, it's supposed to be, okay, 30 days and then you can reintroduce things. That's the misconception that people go into it with. But, you know, you hear 2 years and to some people that sounds like a life sentence. But in the grand scheme of your life, you know, being able to get your life back from where you were before, it's a very small price to pay.
Absolutely. And a lot of time, it's as probably everyone listening knows, who, if you're following some sort of specialized diet, it's really hard to stick to and explain to people who don't get it. A lot of social events surround food, and I had people who were like, I don't understand how you can just not eat this piece of bread or this chicken wing or whatever it was. And I'm like, you don't understand. When you are in the depths of what feels like hell, and this is apparently the only thing that's going to help, you'll do whatever. Like, my will was not in any way deterred or compromised by a chicken wing or whatever it was. Like, I just, I just wanted to get better and I was willing to do anything. So even though 2 years does sound like a lot and is not, in my opinion, extremely short term, especially when you're used to, you know, like a 10-day cleanse or whatever.
Oh yeah.
It was just like, I don't care. I'll do whatever it takes. And I'm so grateful that I stuck with it and did it because it was, you know, the foundation I feel for my current state of health.
That's awesome. So, sorry, go on.
For any of our listeners who aren't familiar with the GAPS diet, can you briefly explain what that consists of?
Sure. So there's this excellent book by Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride called The Gut and Psychology Syndrome. And basically, she's this Russian doctor, and she had all these different clients, and she put them on this specialized diet. And it goes in various stages. I think there's like 5 or 6 stages. There's the intro, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. And it basically eliminates any sugar, any processed foods, anything that's just kind of tough to digest. So even raw foods like can be really, really taxing on your digestive system. So it begins with a lot of healing types of foods. So broths that you make by hand, like bone broths. And then it also incorporates a lot of probiotic rich foods. So things like kefir or homemade yogurt or, sauerkraut, those sorts of things. And it's basically meant to gently heal the gut lining, seal it, and then repopulate the gut with really good bacteria, all the while feeding yourself foods that don't require a whole lot of work to break down. And that's essentially what it is.
Yeah, I'm really curious, what did your diet look like before starting GAPS?
Well, at the age of 13, I became the world's worst vegan. And by that, I mean, I ate cookies because cookies don't have meat or I was just an idiot.
We can relate.
And so it was like a very easy way to have a restrictive diet in high school and in college before I learned anything about what real nutrition and real health is all about. And then once I did pick up this book, and she explains in great detail, but also quite scientifically, but in a way that, you know, a layman can understand how the digestive system works and how hard it is to eat raw foods and digest and break down those foods and get the nutrients that you need in order, you know, to really thrive. I realized, wow, I've really been doing my body a great disservice by, you know, just not feeding myself nutritious stuff. I wouldn't eat a whole lot of processed stuff, but I didn't eat a whole lot of micronutrient rich foods. And so I remember, you know, years prior to this dog bite that kind of started everything, I was often quite bloated. I was very uncomfortable after eating a lot. I would eat a lot of food and go to the bathroom quite frequently, which means that your body's not, you know, absorbing the nutrients. It's just kind of going right through you. And I was always like super, super skinny and just had a tough time gaining weight. And looking back, I realized, wow, I really was not a healthy person at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing that you found this diet that works for you. And something that, so I talk about gut health a lot because it's a lot of my journey too. And a lot of people who read my blog are curious about that as well. And when I work with people, I usually put most people on some sort of modified GAPS, just because I agree that, you know, eating lots of raw foods like that, if you're having issues with digesting, you definitely want to be cooking your foods really well. So I think there's a lot for people to learn from the GAPS diet, and I'm a huge fan of the GAPS diet. However, one of the misconceptions that people have just kind of on the internet is that they find one great thing and it's like, okay, well, this is the thing that's going to work for everybody. And it doesn't necessarily. So people that have histamine issues or overgrowth issues, the GAPS diet may not work for them. So the way that I explained it the other day on my Instagram stories, it's like, if you've kind of wiped out your gut bacteria, like you did with all those antibiotics, GAPS is a great choice. So you definitely found the right diet. And it may not work for everybody. So all that to say, when you found the GAPS diet, was it the first kind of quote unquote healing diet that you tried? Were there any other mistrials, or was this kind of just the one that you immediately went to?
That's a really good question. So, well, when I got on the antibiotics, my doctor was like, kind of try to avoid the processed foods, avoid the sugar, avoid the alcohol. And I didn't really eat a whole lot of that kind of stuff anyway, but I really, oh, and avoid gluten. And I really did avoid, I tried very hard to avoid them at all costs, even though I didn't really eat a whole lot of that kind of stuff to begin with. And then my main concern after parting ways with her is I had really bad breakouts. And in researching, yeah, I was just like going down this Google rabbit hole and researching like what is the root cause? Because I'm a firm believer that like whatever presents topically on you probably has to do with what's going on internally. So I'm going down this rabbit hole of Googling and I come up finally with this Chinese face mapping. And a lot of my breakouts were associated on my forehead, which corresponds to the intestines and gut health and all of that. So when I was researching this Chinese face map, which is just, it's basically from Chinese medicine, and they say that anywhere you're breaking out on your face corresponds to somewhere internally in your body. So if it's like, I don't know, between the eyebrows, it corresponds to your liver. And if it's down by your mouth, it corresponds to hormones and that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, everything I'm dealing with is about, is my forehead. So this means that it corresponds to my gut. And I was like, wow, that's very interesting because I'm so bloated and I'm so uncomfortable anytime I eat. And then that's kind of what sent me to the GAPS diet. Cause I started Googling, you know, how to heal gut health, how to repair gut health. And that's what kept coming up. So I didn't really, I mean, aside from this vegan/vegetarian, that was just a really good cover up for a very restrictive diet. I didn't really try anything else.
That's awesome that you were able to find something that worked so great. So today, you know, you've come very far from that 2 years on the GAPS diet. So a lot of the time, people can kind of use their healing diet, and I do this 100%. I'm totally guilty of this. They use their healing diet that they used to heal kind of as a crutch, and they can tolerate more, but they're just a little bit scared to go into, you know, being able to eat more foods. Do you feel like you had that in the beginning?
100%.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I also didn't really know what to eat besides the GAPS diet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't really interested in jumping into like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, for example. I didn't really know what else to have. And so I kind of just, I would go to social events and stuff, and I either wouldn't eat anything, or I would just bring my own food because I was just so used to that, and also very scared to indulge in anything that was not GAPS approved because I had just seen so much success, and I didn't want to be in that place of extreme discomfort again, you know. But eventually, I did start going veering off of it. You know, my mom. She's one of those people, you'll read about it in my book. She just like does everything that's cool before it was cool. You know what I mean? Like she was really into yoga before yoga was like a thing. She was really into health food before that was like almost a fad.
The OG fad, hipster.
Yeah, totally. So she was like, just try the sourdough bread. It has 3 ingredients. It's, you know, the bag got it from the co-op. Like, so she really helped encourage me to just try different things and be a little bit more open. And, you know, I didn't really have any setbacks. And when I would have setbacks, I would just go back to what I know. I would start incorporating more bone broths and, you know, things would just kind of even out.
Yeah, I've been following you for a couple years now, and I've seen, you know, you transform a ton just in the time that I've been following you of just, you know, healing more and more. So it's really cool to be able to watch. And if people aren't following you already on social media, they need to. But so I guess today, what are some of the things that you've been able to reincorporate that were harder to in the past?
I mean, everything, I would say. I do salads now. I still can't do a whole lot of super raw stuff throughout the day. Like I notice if I do that, I will feel bloated and uncomfortable. But I will for sure have a raw salad with one meal out of the day. I can do fruits now. I pretty much can do anything, and I'm not scared of like cheating, quote unquote, cheating on the diet anymore. I'm not on the diet, so it doesn't really count. But I'm not scared of, you know, having chocolate or, you know, just something that I wouldn't normally eat, something super processed, because I know snow, it's like, it's a once in a while thing, and I'm feeling really good. So until I don't feel good, I will eat, you know, what I want.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And you travel a lot too. So it's really empowering, kind of, as another person who has been sick and other people who follow you that are sick, that kind of feel like there's no end of the road, you know, to be able to see you in Africa and Italy eating gelato and stuff like that. It's really empowering.
Well, what's so interesting to me, because I always felt like, oh my God, how am I going to live my life if I'm on this crazy diet? Mm-hmm. The thing I realized is we're so used to just grabbing and going. We never really sit down, take a couple deep breaths, and then eat quality homemade food. And when you start to travel and you go to places that have great food, like Italy, for example, they're not buying packaged pasta. They're making it in the back. You know what I mean? The olive oil there is so wonderful and so nourishing, different, especially compared to here in the States. And so at the time when I discovered the GAPS diet, I was actually living in Germany. And one of the things that's pointed out in this book, the Gut and Psychology Syndrome book, is almost every single, I mean, I think she says every single traditional culture has a diet that incorporates some sort of healing broth, some sort of probiotic food. So you can really find, I mean, when I went to India, I had lassi, which is kind of like a kefir, a probiotic yogurt milk type drink. If you go to Germany, there's homemade sauerkraut. You can pretty much go anywhere and find what you need to heal. You might have to look a little harder. It's not going to be at your, you know, quick grab and go 7-Eleven type place, but they definitely have healing foods everywhere. You just need to, you know, Google it and see what they have available.
Amen. I love that. So we've been talking about all of the things that have helped you heal in general, but if you were to call out just 2 to 3 things that really made the difference in your healing journey, what would they be?
In terms of food or other aspects?
I guess everything. Okay. So,
well, in terms of food, I would definitely say bone broth. That I remember drinking it for the very first time, and it was like, have you ever seen that Pepto-Bismol commercial where it's like this bright pink liquid and it's going down these pipes and like coating it? That's how it felt drinking this bone broth. It was, my body was like, thank you. I swear, yes. I felt an immediate difference. And then in terms of, I guess, an all around looking at everything, I would say that, 2 or 3 things that made the biggest difference. I think that my commitment for self-advocacy was the thing I'm so grateful for, because if I had just listened to that initial doctor said, oh, 21 of your 22 symptoms are gone, but you still have that one, we think you should go back on antibiotics. Had I listened to her, I would still be on antibiotics today.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I just listened to that intuition that was like, no, there's gotta be something else. And I'm so grateful that I kept seeking people who knew more than I did, and people who came from this holistic approach to wellness. And I'm just grateful that I didn't put all of my eggs in one basket and trust this one doctor. Not to say that I'm not grateful for her and all the work she did. She totally helped me, but I'm just grateful that I kept a really open mind and fought for, you know, I wasn't just satisfied with, okay, 21 of 22 are gone, so I guess I'm okay. Like, I really kept fighting for a way better quality of life.
Yeah, you're talking a lot about mindset, which is great and something that I want to come back to. But real quick, just to touch on something you said, that you were listening to your intuition and how grateful you are that you were able to do that. Mm-hmm. That's something that I try to encourage every woman that I work with,
yes,
to focus on their intuition. And it's something now that's being studied that women do have an intuitive aspect to them that they need to honor and develop the distinction between when something is you're getting a feeling or a sensation based out of fear versus your intuition and understanding the differences between that. But that's something that even my husband, when we first got together, I've always felt like I was a very intuitive person. And when we first got together, he didn't really understand that. And now he can, even just through my own experiences, even now he trusts my intuition and like backs me up 100%. If I'm feeling, you know, uncomfortable with anything, he believes that there's a reason for that, just based on all of these studies that are coming out. So I think that's something to encourage our listeners to really honor that and tap into that aspect.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the fear aspect, because I mean, I guess it's probably true for any line of work, but, and you guys probably experience this as well, but I'll have people, you know, in my yoga class say, well, can I do this? And I'm like, well, I don't know if you can do it. Like, you know what's right for you. And it's easy to just, you know, put all your trust in somebody and let them kind of guide the way or tell you what to do. But really, in your heart of hearts, if you sit down and ask yourself, okay, if I just shed this fear and push it to the side just for a second, what am I thinking? How do I feel about this? And how should I go forward? Because we really truly do have all of the answers we need, or we have this intuitive thing that will help us to lead our best lives if we just listen to it and set aside the fear and the anxieties and the self-doubts. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yep, we're on the same page right now. So tell me how your mindset played a role in your healing. Like, how did you achieve this mindset of just like, oh, I can travel and do this in a different aspect and look at food differently and sit down and all of that? Like, how did you come to that?
I think that I've always struggled with depression. And depression and bipolar also runs deeply in my family's veins. And so I've always just felt like, I've always felt that anchor and that pull of sadness. And I remember in my darkest moments, in the middle of treating the Lyme disease, I was bedridden for probably, I don't know, it was like, I might've been in bed for like 11 days straight. And I was just losing my mind. I just felt like, especially because I used to be very active. I used to go to the gym all the time. I loved to run with my husky, like, and now I couldn't move at all. And I was so depressed. And I remember looking outside and it was sunny. It was like the middle of August. I remember scrolling through Instagram and all my friends were like living their best life. And I had like a severe case of FOMO. And I just thought to myself, God, I can either succumb to this sadness, which is very familiar to me. And at least I know what this feels like and it's awful, but I can just kind of give into that. Because remember, I didn't know how long it would take to get better or if I could ever get better. If you start Googling Lyme disease, I mean, there are some serious cases of people just living years and years with it.
It's scary.
It's really scary. So I didn't know how I would get better, if I would get better, how long, you know, I didn't know. And so it was that fear of the unknown. And I thought, okay, well, I can just be miserable, or I can pick up this journal I have on my nightstand and write and just dream in what would it look like? Say I am 100% better. What would it look like? And I wrote down, I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to take that yoga teacher training I wanted to take. I'm going to travel more. I've always been a traveler. When I was 16, I left home and did a study abroad in Costa Rica. I've always been like a fearless, independent person for so long. And then there I was in bed, unable to even move. My husband had to carry me to the bathroom. You know, anyways, it was terrible. And I thought, all right, let's just put that to the side and let's dream. And what would your life look like? And so I put it down on paper and I closed my eyes and I just decided I do want to get better. And when I get better, not if, but when, I'm going to stop living such a small life. I want to live a life. I want to live my dreams. And I think that was always just in the back of my head. I just wanted to go after it no matter how unrealistic it sounded. And I did somehow. I don't know how, but I did.
That's awesome. You did. What you do with Yoga by Candace, it just blows my mind. We'll talk at the end, like, of all of the things that you have right now. And there's so many things that it's a dream that all of the things that you've been able to accomplish. So You're such an inspiration.
Thank you.
So let's move on to yoga. And that is what you are mainly known for online. You are killing it in the yoga space. I think that may be how I originally found you, just doing your yoga videos. So I read in your book that you found yoga before you got Lyme.
Yeah.
But so can you tell us kind of how you got into yoga and what your kind of trajectory from getting where you are now looked like?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, my mom was just the OG hipster. And so we lived relatively close to this place called Kripalu, which is this, you know, world-renowned yoga center in the Berkshires.
Yeah,
it's a really great place to go if you ever get a chance. But anyway, my mom dragged me there when I was 15. And I say she dragged me because I didn't want to hang out with my mom when I was 15. You know, I was like dating a bad boy and, you know, wanting to hang out with my friends and did not have any interest in going to sit with a bunch of people I didn't know and chant the sacred sound of Om. Okay, like not happening. But no, she dragged me. And I just secretly fell in love with the place. It was like, I think a lot of us feel this way as teenagers especially, but you kind of walk around with this armor on because you're insecure and you don't really know who you are. And so you kind of put up all these fronts and you act like you're tough and hard and that nothing bothers you. And when I would go into this place, this Kripalu place with all these weird hippies, like I felt like, oh, finally, I don't have to wear this mask. I don't have to be somebody I'm not. I can just kind of let all my baggage go and just be me, whoever that is. And I felt very safe and very accepted. And I would just go to these, you know, meditation classes with my mom or the yoga classes or whatever. And the people were just nice people. And the teachings, even though I didn't want to admit at the time, really resonated with me. And as a little kid, I mean, I remember writing this, we had to write this book about ourselves, this autobiography of ourselves. And I think it was second grade or kindergarten or something. And I said I wanted to be a teacher. And it has always been like, as I was growing up, playing with my little brother, we always played school. I was the teacher. I loved education. I loved teaching. In high school, if somebody didn't get it in the, you know, what the teacher was explaining, I would try to explain it in a different way. And the inevitably, like the student would understand. And I just felt this like very, I don't know, internal need to teach and to help other people. And I think that's where that came from. So I actually became a school teacher, and I was a Spanish teacher for a few years. And then, you know, I told you how when I was in that depths of depression with the Lyme disease, I decided I would go finally get that yoga teacher training certificate. And I did. And then when I decided to do it full time, I realized, wow, I'm actually using a lot of the stuff I learned in my master's program for education in my yoga teacher my yoga teaching. So that's kind of how the yoga and the teacher bit formed together.
So what would you say to people who, I remember when I first saw your yoga practice and your yoga videos on YouTube, there was no way that I ever could have thought that you were once like in a wheelchair, like couldn't walk, was bedridden. Yeah. So what would you say for people that feel like, even people that haven't been bedridden, that feel like they're just so, just not a yoga person, that like they could never do all of that? What would you say to those people?
I would say that there are so many different styles of yoga. And so you might think of yoga and think like some bendy person who can, you know, turn their bodies inside out and create all these pretzel shapes with their bodies. That's not really what yoga is. Like there is yin yoga, which is super, super slow and restorative. You might do only five poses in a 1 hour class period. And that's very, healing, especially for, you know, for people who are sick, but also for people who are super tight. So if you're somebody who's very, very tight and looking to build some flexibility, search for a yin yoga class. That's going to help you open up. If you are somebody just trying to get in shape and wanting a different approach to doing it, look for a vinyasa class or a power yoga class. And if it's you know, you don't live in a place where there's a studio or it's quite pricey. You can just go to YouTube. There are a number of people on there. And of course, I'm on there, youtube.com/yogabycandice. I have hundreds of yoga videos all created and put into different playlists. So you can search by the body part you want to open up or the style of yoga you want to do or the amount of time you have. I have stuff from like 5-minute guided meditation to all the way up to a 60-minute class. So there are many different resources. I just think you have to know what you're looking for. So yin is the restorative, power vinyasa is the faster bit, and then there are a bunch of other styles, but those are the two main things I would say for people who are looking to get into it.
Do you have any resources on your website for people who are struggling with like at-home practices with your Yoga by Candice YouTube videos?
I'm sure that there are some posts up that talk about how to create like your own practice. If you search, if you just put a Google search in Yoga by Candice home practice, I think I've written a few posts on how to set up a space, how to kind of start a home practice and how to make it work for you.
Yeah, that's my struggle with pretty much any at-home practice is just not getting distracted and staying consistent. But it's something that I really like for, because I'm currently pregnant. And so I know that after the little baby is here, I'm probably going to need to be doing things at home. So I need to figure out how to make it work for me.
Another thing is, I think we have this idea where you have to do an hour class or it didn't count. Mm-hmm. It's so not true. You don't have to do that. I tell people who are super tight through their hamstrings, when you're waiting for your water to heat up in the shower before you step into the shower, do a ragdoll pose for like 30 seconds. That alone is going to feel so good on your hamstrings, and practicing it, you know, every single morning as you wait for your water to heat up, that's a great way to just introduce that stretch into your life. I also tell people if you're watching TV and it's, you know, the commercials come on, just do X, Y, or Z pose until the next commercial comes on, then switch it up. Like, I don't feel like you have to unroll your mat, chant, meditate, do the whole thing, do an hour-long class, and then do Shavasana in order for it to count. Certainly, that's going to have a far more, like a bigger impact in your practice and in your life. But if all you can manage is a 10-minute practice before bed, in bed, that's all you can manage. And that's still something, you know, don't discredit that just because it's not the full unroll your mat thing.
That is still just like that. I was just going to say, like, that is such a good reminder, because I feel like I've come from a history of eating disorders and overexercising, and it's just like, I feel like I've clued into the fact of getting my eating very much under control. But I'm still of the mindset, even though now I only work out 2 days a week, but mm-hmm. I do still have that mindset of like, I have to go somewhere and make it count and sweat. But you are, so right.
I'm the same way. I used to be this, like, I would have to go and run on the treadmill for 45 minutes and get a really good sweat in. And now I switched up my workout style over the last like year and a half to just heavier weights and HIIT style workouts. And I'm in and out of the gym in far less time. And I feel like I finally am seeing the results that I have worked for years in the past. It was like you do less and achieve what you want, you know? Yeah. I think we have this feeling like, oh, we're not good enough, or what we can give isn't enough. And it's just not the case. I feel like whatever you can do, just let that be enough, you know? It really truly is. And I almost think that the stress you bring upon yourself by saying, well, if I don't go to the yoga studio and I don't unroll the mat, or if I don't go to the gym and I just do a 5-minute thing at home, it's not enough. That stress alone that you create is worse than not working out or not practicing yoga at all. You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I struggle with that a lot too, that we're all entrepreneurs here on this call.
Oh yeah.
And I find myself working, you know, just weird hours sometimes. By the time that I'm done, I'm like, I do not want to be in the gym right now.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to, I've had to get into the mindset of I can still do a workout and move my body, even though I'm just here in my office and not at the gym. And watching people like you and other yoga YouTubers and stuff like that has really inspired me to, you know, just feel okay with that, that there's definitely way too much.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that we take that same mindset into so many other things, whether it's you're an entrepreneur and you just want to work, because that's like all you really, you know, you just want to do it all. Or you're a mom and you feel like you can't, there's not enough time in the day. I can't do it all. And you're freaking out because you feel like you're not good enough. Or a friend or in a relationship or whatever it is. I just feel like we have got to take the pressure off of ourselves and just for like, life is hard enough. Just look in the mirror and say, you are enough. Like whatever you can give, just let that be enough. That is, and the release of the stress when you give yourself permission to just be, however that may appear, I feel like is so much healthier than pushing ourselves to the brink of a breakdown.
Oh, exactly. So. Exactly. So true. So you, the way that you work out personally, you do, like you said, you do weights and then HIIT and then yoga. Do you find yourself kind of following intuitively what you feel like doing in a certain day, or do you find yourself working better with some sort of structure and plan?
Well, the amazing thing about yoga is that it's taught me to just trust, to really just trust the intuition. Just like we were talking about earlier, like I don't let the fear factor, you know, play into it. I really just say, okay, how am I doing? And then that's always first. And then secondly, I do follow a program from my CrossFit gym that it's kind of a weird situation, but I belong to a CrossFit gym that's like an hour away and I never actually really go, but because I'm a member, I get access to their program. So I follow that program on my phone unless I'm not feeling it. If I'm tired that day, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to do what I want to do. You know, what feels good for me. If I do have the energy and I want to give it all I've got, then I'll do that. And then as far as yoga, my practice, it's weird when you start to do what you love for work, because if you push it too much, then you don't love it as much. So I don't go to a yoga studio as often as I would like and just be the student. I am often, my yoga practice is me filming myself at home for my channel, which is fine, but it's not what it once was at this moment in time. I still go to master classes and learn and stuff, but it's definitely shifted in terms of how much I love it personally versus loving it for work and what I'm able to do to help others. So that's kind of an interesting piece. But yeah, ultimately, I always just focus on my intuition first, how I'm feeling, follow that first and foremost, and then go by what's being programmed or what I personally feel like doing that day.
That's awesome. So something that I really want to talk about just super briefly, I didn't prep you for this, but you're more than qualified to talk about it. Oh. So we have a lot of bloggers that follow us, and watching your journey kind of creating Yoga by Candace is so inspiring, just on multiple levels, especially when we back it up just over this past hour of, you know, you being bedridden and now just being this total boss that's doing all of these things. It's so inspiring. So can you talk just really quick about how you kind of created this brand?
Sure. I always like, I don't know what's happening. I feel like I keep getting these direct messages that, because I like to do this Q&A on my Instagram stories. And I
always watch it.
Oh, thanks. So I get these direct messages that ask pretty much the same question. They're always so flattering. I'm like literally blushing. My face is red right now because I don't feel like much of a boss. Like, to be quite honest with you, I'm sweaty because I'm nervous. I'm in like yesterday's clothes and I'm just a girl in her home office trying to make stuff happen. I don't feel like a boss, but thank you very much for that. So I started my blog a while, I guess immediately after my teacher training, because I used to love to read blogs, but at the time it was just kind of fashion blogs. There wasn't really anything for the yoga lover. And if there was, like, it wasn't updated frequently, or it was like really out there and kind of like hoo-hoo, woo-woo, weird stuff. And I was just like, it's not resonating with me. I just wanted to create something that was inclusive of all people, regardless of what your diet was or whether you drank alcohol or, you know, whatever. I just wanted it to be for the modern person just trying to get through their day. Like, what can I do for yoga and health? So it was primarily yoga focused. And then I was like, you know what, when I was a college student, I couldn't afford to go to the yoga studio. It's so expensive. So maybe I'll just make some YouTube videos. So I just started making YouTube videos. And looking back, like my first ones are atrocious, but I just kind of learned as I went, and I didn't even realize that you could make money off monetizing. I didn't even know you could monetize your YouTube videos. I might've had like 50 out there before I realized like, oh, hey, if I press this button, like you can monetize and then maybe earn a little bit. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And then I started realizing like, oh, if I partner up with other companies, I can also bring in more money. And then I realized, oh, I can use this platform I've created to do a meetup and do yoga on the beach when I lived in Florida for a brief time. So I kind of did that and realized that there were all these different ways to make a little bit of money. And my business model is essentially just find ways to build these small revenue streams. And then one thing I love about YouTube, so any blogger who is out there, my recommendation to you would be to start a YouTube channel, figure out what you can offer that your audience would love and appreciate, and then create it and put it out there. Because once it's out there, you just sit back and collect your check. It's a really nice way to get paid for doing what you love and for adding value to people's lives. You know, if you're helping somebody in any way, even if you're like a comedian vlogger, you're still adding value to people's lives because you're making them laugh, you know? So that's kind of been my business model. And then it's morphed into realizing that once you have a decent sized audience or you have their email addresses so you can notify them, you can go to places and host workshops or host mini retreats or whatever it is. And then you have another way to earn income for the value that you're providing for people.
Your retreats are just so awesome to me. One of these days, I'm going to show up at one of them.
You're most welcome.
Especially, you're doing it again in one in Italy, like up
in
northern Italy. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's my favorite one because they have like, it includes this like 5-course dinner that is just to die for. And everything's like homemade in the back by like some little old Italian man. It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, I remember doing my very first retreat, and I rented out a venue from Airbnb, and then I didn't know how much to price it. So I priced it way too low. Then I didn't sell enough spots. I lost a lot of money. So everything I do, I feel like there's always a lesson to be learned. But the potential, if you think outside the box, the potential for your company, if you're a blogger out there listening, is enormous. You just need to hone in on what value you bring and, look around, see what other people are doing, and then maybe apply those techniques to what you know how to do, and then just kind of go from there.
I totally agree. So often people will send me messages, or I'll see people searching on my blog or searching on Google. Like, the certification that I have is a nutritional therapy practitioner. Mm-hmm. They say, what can you do with that? Like, what jobs can you get? And, you know, right back at them, like, well, what do you want to do with it? Like, you create your own opportunities. Like, Absolutely. Yoga by Candace, when you started this thing, you did not go online and go on Indeed. I'm like, okay, Yoga by Candace, how can I buy this thing? Like, you opportunities.
And that should be underscored. Like, you can do anything you put your mind to. I have a very good friend, Carly Smith of fairygodmother.com, and she's an NTP as well. And so she's been on the news, and she's like positioned herself as somebody who is an expert in the field. And so she can like give talks, and she goes to different health food stores and does demos. And like, there's so much. She and I are actually working together for a gut healing yoga retreat.
Yeah, in Colorado.
There's so much that you can do. Even as a blogger, if you're just a blogger who writes about blogging, I mean, you could do your own like blog education weekend. Like, there is so much that you can do. You just kind of need to think outside the box and really visualize it. Don't worry about the how. Can you make that happen? Just worry about the what. Like, what do you want of your life? And it goes back to that whole thing when I was, with the Lyme disease, just thinking like, okay, I'm not going to live small. I'm going to just going to go after whatever it is I want, and just kind of push ahead full force. not worrying about how unrealistic it may seem.
I love it. I had somebody, I've been watching your retreats for a while and just so inspirational for me. And that's always been one of my like little dreams in the back of my mind of doing something like that. And I had somebody the other day like DM me like, hey, are you ever going to do a retreat? I'm like, one day.
You should. You totally should.
Days. You put the energy out into the world and I guess people just start asking for it.
Yeah.
One of these days I may or may not be asking YBC how some advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to help.
But so we've talked about all the stuff that you do, and I would love for you to share kind of where people can find you and what are some of the things that you have going on right now. We talked about retreats. I know you're doing a yoga teacher training and you're starting your own podcast. So there's a ton.
Yeah, I might tell ask us the you things. For some advice on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
I just feel like I need to get out of my comfort zone a little bit, and podcasting is definitely out of my comfort zone. That's our next big thing. But so people can find me on Instagram at Yoga by Candace, on my website, yogabycandace.com, and YouTube, Yoga by Candace. And so we have the retreats coming up. We have in April, we have one in Italy. In August, we have one in Santorini. And in July, I have my very first Namaste 200-hour yoga teacher training. And it's like a 3-week, very intensive training that I'm putting together. And I'm just over the moon excited about it. So that's what we have going on. And hopefully more to come after that. But I just kind of need to get through these next few months first.
And so I read in the beginning out of your book. So you have a book that people can go get at a lot of different stores, Namaste.
Yes. Namaste is available at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and most major bookstores everywhere.
And it's awesome. It kind of teaches you about different yoga poses. So if you're new at this, and even I've done a lot of, you know, going to yoga studios, but really looking at the breakdown was helpful. And then you talk a lot about your story as well. So it's a great book.
Thank you. Yeah. My whole like Lyme story is kind of woven throughout that. And then it's just a funny story of how the whole book came to be. I was sitting in my yoga teacher training, in 2012, it must've been. And I was just sweating buckets. It was like 115 degrees in Thailand in like this giant treehouse of a yoga room that we were in. And the teacher was droning on and on about tree pose and how, you know, you don't want to have your student have their foot on their knee joint because it's just not good for the joint. And we were all just, our eyes were glazed over. We were exhausted. It was hot and uncomfortable. And I thought, man, if we just had an image of somebody in tree pose and all the little arrows pointing to what to do and what not to do, that would be so helpful because I can't retain anything right now. And that's how the book came to be. Like all the photos in the book, it's just me on a white page doing the pose and all these arrows are all around it pointing out the alignment because I just think so many of us are visual people. And then of course, right next to it is the written instruction on how to get into it and things to avoid. But the visual piece, especially when you're tired or you're like in the middle of a practice and not totally sure how to do the pose, you can just quickly look it up and get right into it without having to read an entire thing on it. So that's how it came to be.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks.
And one more thing that I'm familiar with that I am so happy to get every quarter is your mantra box, which is really fun.
Thank you. Yeah, the mantra box came to be because I really like working with small businesses in the health and wellness like sphere. And so we only have 150 available. It's a quarterly discovery box. And we try to fill it with stuff you wouldn't generally see at your local big box store. And it helps to support small businesses and helps you to discover, you know, new products and new things to enjoy.
It's awesome. I've been reviewing them for, I guess, 3 seasons now. And it's like it's Christmas like every quarter that I'll put my most.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. It was just like a dream to be able to partner with you guys on that.
Yeah, thanks for doing that with us.
Yeah, I'll put the most recent one that I did in the show notes, but it's really good stuff. Like I remember one time, the first time I did it, there was like one of the smaller jars of Vital Proteins was in there. There's been like awesome snacks, like full sizes of beauty products and health products. It's a really cool thing. So I love it.
I'm so glad to hear you like it. Yeah, that's available on my site, yogabykenneth.com under shop. And our next one goes out towards the end of November. And we have a few left. But like I said, we only have 150 available. So if you want to grab it, you got to do it quick.
Yeah. And you can select if you want like paleo or vegetarian or for men or women. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's customizable.
Yeah.
So something that we like to close out on before we do any other closing thoughts or anything. So Anne and I kind of go back and forth doing our meal of the week just get people some like fun food inspiration. So what is a meal that you ate in the last week that you
Okay. Well, I'll tell you about a recent breakfast I have. So I've been trying to switch up my breakfast every day. I usually get stuck kind of in the same scrambled eggs every single day. So what I did the other day was I did a sweet potato, and then I made a scramble with egg and caramelized onions and spinach and mushrooms. And then I also did a small side of kimchi, which sounds a little weird at breakfast time, but I promise you, it was so delish.
I get it. I love it. It sounds delicious.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming on with us this week. This was an awesome conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. So where can people find you if they don't know already? So
they can find me on Instagram at Yoga by Candace or my site, yogabycandace.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Unbound Healing Podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. Until next time, you can find more from me, Anne, at grassfedsalsa.com, and more from Michelle at unboundwellness.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.